Investigators are making progress in efforts to find the people responsible for Tuesday's terror attacks. More information is emerging about the events on at least one of the four hijacked planes. Authorities in several parts of the country are identifying likely suspects. NPR's Martin Costi reports.
Bit by bit, U.S. law enforcement authorities are reconstructing what happened on those four commercial airliners that caused so much devastation on Tuesday morning. Attorney General John Ashcroft described the situation this way.
The four planes were hijacked by between three and six individuals per plane, using knives and box cutters, and in some cases making bomb threats. Our government has credible evidence that the White House and Air Force One were targets.
Much of what investigators know comes from United Airlines Flight 93 from Newark, which was hijacked en route to San Francisco and ultimately crashed in rural Pennsylvania. Two of the passengers were able to contact their wives by cell phone, and they described the situation on board. Their family members also say that the men resolved to retake the plane. There's speculation that their actions may have led to the aircraft's dive into an unpopulated area, instead of another dive-bombing run into a landmark building. According to the Los Angeles Times, federal investigators have identified about 50 people who may be responsible for the hijacking, including the supporters not on the planes. The report says authorities have already accounted for the whereabouts of 40 of them, a number that includes those who died on board the aircraft. The Justice Department believes several of these people received pilot training in the United States and that some of them held Middle Eastern passports. Investigators have reportedly recovered suicide notes from some of the suspected terrorists, as well as credit card receipts for the pilot training. Clint Van Zandt, a security consultant and former FBI expert on terrorism, says investigators can assemble a suspect list very quickly.
They're looking for names of people they know that may have some connection with this. Then they're linking their names back to rental cars and then to residences, to bank accounts, to cell phones. And this kind of spider web type investigation will grow and grow and grow until we identify these somewhere between 25 and maybe upwards of 100 members of the terroristic-type cells.
While the FBI searches for more leads, the grim work continues at the sites of Tuesday's attacks. In Arlington, Virginia, rescue workers have shored up the Pentagon's damaged face, which has been described as a massive lean-to. Fire Rescue Captain Scott Graham says his crew still hope to find survivors.
We have listening devices. We also have specialized fiber optic devices for searching in void spaces. And then certainly our rescue specialists who will be using hydraulic tools, gas-powered tools, to gain access through the concrete, through the metal, into the void spaces to search for them.
The world is still feeling the ripple effects of the attacks. NATO yesterday declared that if the attacks are shown to have come from outside the U.S., the alliance will consider them an act of aggression against all the member states. International air travel continues to be snarled as U.S. airports have been slow to reopen. The LA Times report says authorities are keeping the airports closed to keep the 10 missing suspects from leaving the country. And in some regions of the U.S., gas stations have jacked up the price of a gallon of gas. That is, until federal officials warned of a crackdown, a move that, for the moment, seems to have brought prices back down. Martin Costi, NPR News, Washington.